American cradle of liberty.
Look at you! You're a freak!
What are we alive for except to grab all the kicks we can? To contaminate our society.
Now being renovated.
Here's Uncle Nick.
Podcasting live from the recent past in the Dogwater Studios, high above UNR campus and the beautiful Ramada Inn in downtown Reno, Nevada. It's the Worst Little Podcast, and I'm your host, Nick Ramirez, with my good friend Chewbacca. We got Dogwater Dick in the back. We got Cadillac Kim here in the back, too. And Doc G's here. And we got this killer black metal band called Vicare.
Talking out of our ass.
Big time.
Yay.
Hey, guys.
It's so good
Hi.
To have you guys
Welcome
back.
Welcome back.
Thank you very much for having us back. This is awesome.
I'm excited because I actually get to be here
this
time.
Yeah, we're excited to have you here.
No, we were very, very excited when we were asked, so thank you very much.
Yeah.
We had a lot of fun last time. Mm-hmm. So.
That was a killer episode.
It was a great episode.
Remember that.
Yeah.
It's hard to remember everybody's name, so we'll go around the room. And start with Chris.
And say what you play.
Say what instrument you play and what's your sign.
My name's Chris. I play guitar. Leo.
My name's Noah. I'm a Capricorn and I play the bass.
I'm Ryan. I play drums and I'm a Gemini.
My name is Aaron. I do vocals and I am a Scorpio Sagittarius.
Oh.
I went all out.
I've had so many best friends Scorpios, and they were all just like super into boning.
What?
I was like, well,
that's a stereotype.
Funny. But when you look at the sign stuff, it always says like a Scorpio, sex. Like, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about my terrible friends.
Yeah. Yeah,
if I ruined
cool.
the show already, I'm sorry.
It's fine.
So Scorpio's the most sexual of the signs, Rick? Is that what you're saying?
That's what I remember when I was studying sign stuff back in high school. But this is many years.
I feel like astrological... that is a common stereotype.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
that we're
like
super intense and do drugs and a little bit violent, maybe, I guess.
Could be. Definitely don't waste your time.
I mean,
and push
two
the
out of three.
Much,
you know, I feel like it's like the stereotypes for those kinds of things are always like the most intense parts of anything.
Yeah. Well, and I'm talking
They're
about
also
this
from, super loyal and reliable.
This is 30 years ago, so like I think astrological technology has come a long way since then.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's a very precise science. It's an actual science.
I'm not
they
familiar
have an app for
anything.
That.
Really
well, the idea is that where you were and what date it was when the planets were aligned carves something into your soul. And if your mom had just given birth to you 2 weeks later, you wouldn't be such a jerk. That's the idea.
Who here believes in astrology?
I do.
Nobody raised their hand in this room.
I feel like it's just a fun thing to like mess around with.
I agree. I think it's a fun thing that people can play with and like create hobbies.
Yeah.
And,
it's
I always say if you believe in it, then it doesn't matter what anybody else
thinks. It's not hurting anybody.
Dude, I always thought it was probably made up garbage, but then one day I found out all of my dearest, closest friends have been three signs.
Okay.
And all the people that I've ever thought were super annoying have been the same sign. And that's what made me start to think.
Okay, well, now you have to say it.
Now you have to say it.
I've revealed this on a previous podcast
before. But still.
And
then
you have to do it again.
Must be safe.
Okay, not all of them.
I know you're talking about Geminis. We can just say it.
Not all of them, but not all of the people of this sign have been this way, but the people that I've met who really drove me crazy in my life and I thought, God, I can't stand to be around you a lot, were typically male Aries.
Yeah. Oh. They're kind of babies.
I don't think we have any male Arieses in the house, do we?
No, but recently.
Uh-oh, intern.
What?
It's not going to work out.
Sorry,
it's not going to work out.
No. Dude, I should have asked before I invited him to the house. And that's the new intern is Aries, you guys.
All right, there we go.
It's a requirement to put that on your resume.
I'm like,
Aries
new intern, do you have a lot of friends who are Sagittarius? You don't know? Okay, good.
The way he said it, no.
He knows.
It's just a bunch of voodoo. It's not, you know.
And who are your three favorite, though?
Scorpio, Capricorn, and Libra.
Ah.
I have like a shit ton of friends with those three signs.
So you and Noah and I will get along just fine then.
Exactly. Oh, no, when perfect. You said Scorpio and and I was like, oh yeah.
I tend to have that effect.
Already feel like I know you.
The rest of us can kick rocks. Yeah. It's just the four of
everybody
you on
this
podcast.
Everybody shut up. It's not those things.
Oh, and of course a ton of Sagittarius.
Yeah.
Which is what I am.
So, yeah.
Fun, yeah. There's a lot of Sagittarius around.
A lot in this house.
Yep.
Mm.
But yep. Anyways.
Nice. Anyways, yeah, astrology with Vaquer and Dogwater Dick. But how have you guys been, and what have you done in a couple years since we saw you last?
We've been pretty busy.
Yeah.
We've done a couple of short runs and put out a full-length album. We're in the process of writing new songs for our next record, and
I think the most major thing that we've done since the last time we were here is we're actually on a label now based out of Oakland, Transylvanian Recordings.
Oh, sweet.
So, yeah, they put out What Will Become of Our Pain, which is what the track is from today that you guys are going to be hearing. But
amazing
being able to work
label.
With them. Yeah, they're based out of Oakland. Ryan and I have known James that runs the label for a really long time. So we're just really happy to be able to have worked with him on this and hopefully work with him on the next one.
Oakland is like my second home. I love it there so much.
Mm-hmm, us too.
I love it there so much. I could spend every time I go there for a trip, the whole Piedmont area and the Piedmont Cemetery and the downtown area and the way the buildings look, and just like it gets a bad rap. That fucking cathedral building that's at Latham Square is like one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen in my life.
Aaron and I were going so frequently for a while that everyone just thought we moved there.
For a minute. Yeah, we would roll up to a bar for a show and everyone's like, oh, I'm so stoked that you guys are living here now. And I was like, no, we're just here for like the third weekend in a row.
But I do. I love Oakland. And
it's unbelievable.
Yeah. And Transylvanian is amazing. James puts out a wide variety of music, which I think is incredible. Everything from black metal to indie to like if you name it, it's probably on there. It's fantastic.
Go check them out.
Yeah, please do. Incredible bands on there, too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right on.
Want to name some of them?
Oh, my gosh. My personal favorite, Leaving, is an absolutely spectacular band. He just did a re-release with Nuthgrush, which is incredible.
Our friends in Baron Altar, they're really, really great from Santa Rosa.
Hexen House. Oh, my gosh. Renewer.
Yep, Renewer from Sacramento. They're really, really good. Honestly, every band on the label is great. There's like a little bit of everything. Like Ryan said, there's indie, there's goth, there's doom metal, there's black metal.
Alter de Fe.
Alter de Fe's most
recent
release.
Alter de Fe release, which was
iconic goth band, if anybody's into that.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
It sounds like it would be easier for you to remember the one or two bands that are terrible that they have.
Vaquer.
Yeah. The worst.
We'll be the judge of that. Kristen, do you have a good time recording? And
It was my first time doing that, so I was a little bit nervous. But, I mean, I don't know how many times we sit and just rehearse stuff before we went down. So it was like muscle memory playing it. But,
smart.
But at the same time, it's like the first time you step in front of it with Greg tracking it and you see the thing and you're sitting there going like, don't fuck up. You don't have to start over again. Don't fuck up.
Don't be nervous. Just remember, everything depends on this.
Yeah. You fuck it up, we'll just do it again, dude. Oh, yeah.
But yeah, it was pretty good. I think we did my parts in less than a day. I had finished, so it was pretty smooth.
Nice.
I'm looking forward to like maybe we're still kind of discussing what we want to do, but I would definitely be into going back there again. Had a good time.
Hell yeah.
Especially that little corner store across from the way.
Yeah, we recorded in like downtown Oakland at a studio called Earhammer with our friend Greg Wilkinson. He's fantastic, but there is like a legendary. It's become legendary to us, the bodega across the street. Oh, yeah. I think it fueled like our snacking. I think throughout the whole thing, and Noah
got really
got
to check the dates.
Yeah, there's Noah got a weird flavor bag of chips.
Yeah, it was
I feel like
curry tikka masala flavored Lay's or whatever,
but they were.
And I was like, this will be funny to take back to the studio, and then it was expired in 2022 or something.
Well, what about the deli counter that has like raw meat in it, and you're looking at it going, I don't think there's power to this.
No refrigeration.
Yeah,
that's like a wet market.
You got to get there early if you want it to be cold.
the morning dew is what keeps it.
Exactly.
Gross.
But recording in Oakland is always fun.
Yeah, it's great. It's, yeah.
Greg is awesome.
Oakland's got personality.
For yeah. Sure. And you just have a lot of, I don't, we have fun whenever we go.
It's a good time. And Greg's fantastic to work with.
Yeah.
And, his Rolodex of bands is insane.
Yeah, Greg's
been
behind.
It's awesome to get out of town and do something like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, where you're just away.
Well, and we stayed in beautiful Alameda.
Alameda is my favorite.
It is fantastic.
That's my go-to. Do you guys stay at the Hawthorne Suites there?
We stayed at an extended
stay. America. Yeah.
That's where the nuclear vessels are at.
I found Alameda on accident, and we were like, we were at the Oakland Zoo, and then we were coming through Oakland. It was just crazy, and my daughter was maybe like 9 years old. We're just like, yeah, babe, this is why you don't start taking drugs. And you look out the window. Like, you're seeing the seriously gnarly parts of that part of Oakland that's just across the river from Alameda, and then you go into that tunnel, and you come up in Alameda, and there's, people walking their dogs.
Yep. It's like Starbucks.
And
it's a whole
jogging.
Different world.
Yeah. And it's just like a breath of fresh air. And Alameda's got so much cool shit
to do. It's a different world.
Like, Oakland is everything that you want Oakland to be.
Yeah.
It's everything you've heard. You know, it's
in the best way.
I love it. I mean, if I could live in Oakland,
but
right
is
now,
the real
I'd
deal.
Be on my way
when
there.
I first started going, everybody acted like I was going to be murdered the second I stepped out of my
it's
car.
It's such a silly stereotype.
It really
honestly.
Is,
and it's
it really
it's
is.
What San Francisco used to be. Like it's amazing and calm. We would just walk everywhere. We would walk 2 miles from our hotel room
it's
to the park.
Super walk.
Everybody was so friendly and so awesome. There's neighborhoods where that's not the case, but the places where all the stuff we were going to. Was just fucking unbelievable. Everybody was so friendly. Middle of the night, 2 o'clock in the morning, just walking around. Yep. Nothing bad happened.
You will see
a great
some
time.
Crazy shit on the streets, though.
Absolutely, but I feel like
I think it's cool.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think Reno's so whitewashed that people don't understand that there is. It's just a culture.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of different kinds of people. There's, you know, but. I think it's fun.
Yeah, there's different there's different kinds of restaurants, there's different kinds of bars. There's
I like that you
venues.
Can turn a corner and somebody's having a cookout and you're just like, oh, wow. And you can stop and hang out and meet new people. And
also RIP Oakland Coliseum.
Yes.
The A's should never move to Vegas.
Yeah,
I'm putting it out there.
I'm still
the Raiders and Oakland got a raw deal on that.
Oh.
Your teams all leave. That does kind of take away a little bit of your pride. Mm-hmm. And they're all gone now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't leave anything in your car in Oakland, though.
Yeah.
Do you know how many friends I've had? Yeah. I have a friend who had his Subaru stolen 3 separate times.
Damn.
Stolen cars in front of his house. He stole the car.
Aaron and I, our previous band, has some
we have a broken,
wonderful
we have a broken
Oakland
window.
Broken window stories.
Property
crime. Yeah, broken window tour.
Oh, there was one specific tour where there was 2 poops and a broken window later, and but we made it out.
Yeah, one person pooped in front of the van.
What?
And then anybody in the band. Oh, a mystery pooper.
And then,
and then we got the side window smashed out of our van,
and
but thankfully none of our gear was in there.
Oh,
so they just smashed it for fun. Usually it's smashed and grab.
It was
there was no grab.
There was
just
a there was a grab of a singular backpack.
It was a 3-week tour, and day 3 my bag got stolen.
Yep.
What was in the bag? What did they
all
get?
All my clothes. Honestly, the only thing I was like a little upset about is, I mean, I'm laying it all out here for you guys. I'm a teeth grinder. And so I have my mouth guard in there. Those don't come cheap. And so I lost that. And let's all be real. Phone chargers are not cheap either.
But imagine.
Those were like the 2 things that I was bummed on.
Yeah.
Imagine
I was like,
how grossed out the thief was when he opened it up thinking he was going to get something good.
Oh, I know.
It was like, here.
So and he's all, what? Socks and t-shirts?
This yeah, you got to take a mouth guard to the dope man and be like, man, what can I get for this mouth guard, bro?
I'll tell you what. When I'm famous, that hold on to that mouth guard,
it's
sir.
For real.
One day.
Well, maybe he was grinding his teeth real bad and it kind of fit him.
Might
you know?
Well, as long as his teeth are safe, then I'm
that's
okay with
it's
it.
Worth it. It's worth it, you guys.
Oh, that's generous.
Yeah, I mean, I can wear a shirt for 3 weeks. I don't care.
Yeah, that was a stinky tour for Ryan.
Oh, man.
Although the bands that we played with on that tour did like donate him shirts like every time we went to a new city. So I was like, oh, man, you're back.
But sometimes that's
like, oh,
the
man,
worst because like,
here's a shirt.
Yeah, sometimes it's like, it's the band that you're not. That was your least favorite band of the show. And they're like, oh, here, have a shirt. And you're like, oh, yeah, like, woo.
There was a lot of Ryan rolling up his shirt that he played drums in the window and just letting it, like, wave out of the van that whole tour because it was just, like, it was also a summertime tour, so it was very sweaty.
It was like peak summer. Going to Bakersfield.
Yeah. Ugh. Steamy.
You guys make this sound so fun.
Yeah, touring.
This I mean,
you smell bad, it's sweaty, people break into your van.
You get robbed, people poop near you.
Yeah. No. Listen, kids, if you play your cards right, this could be your life.
Two poops and a broken window.
You're lucky.
Yeah. It does make for great stories, though. Like, it honestly, does. All the crazy tour stories are always like worth
it. Do it,
it
for
later
the story, not for the glory.
100%.
Yeah. Sometimes you get paid in money, and sometimes you get paid. And wonderful memories.
Yep.
Of broken windows.
Maybe
and...
not so wonderful.
Hey, Steak Old had fantastic food, though. We got
oh,
half
yeah. Sandwiches. We did play that a really. Pumped. We're good. I feel like this is just like an Oakland like commercial, but we did play a really cool spot in Oakland on our first little tour that we did.
That is
for Carrie. Yeah, and that was actually at Steak Old Deli in Oakland, and it was one of the best smelling venues we ever played because they have like really good barbecue, and they have like a vegan menu and all kinds of stuff. So when we walked in, I was like, oh man, it doesn't smell like a typical venue where it's like stinky dude.
B.O.
Yeah, it doesn't smell like stale beer in urine.
Yeah, exactly. Love that journey for me. And it was good. Except for that is also a sad story for me that Chris had to bring up because I dropped my sandwich.
Well, and we thought the van was going to get
So it was right after we played our set, and I don't like to eat before we play because I do very like low guttural vocals, and I'm a little bit of a puker. Mm. So I'm like, I'm going to get a sandwich. I'm going to save it for after we play. It's going to be great. And I was a little bit overzealous when I unwrapped my sandwich, and I dropped it on the streets of Oakland in a pile of glass.
Straight to the broken
and their sandwich, or their like the sandwich shop like side of the venue, and the kitchen was already closed, so it was a very sad day.
And there was that 2 second moment where she thought to herself, I could eat that.
I thought I was like, if I just like, if I just don't eat the bread that was like on the ground side, and then
the band that we were on tour with our friend Danny Zoll, please don't,
please don't,
please don't.
Well, this particular street had some needles on the sidewalk.
Yeah,
it was
eat off of that.
It was the ideal street sandwich scenario. Yeah. So
great venue though. Great venue.
One day I'll go back and get my
super
sandwich.
Probably a damn good sandwich.
I mean, it probably was. I'll never know.
Yeah.
If you get an opportunity, Steak Old Deli.
Yep.
Really, really cool spot.
Do they have a lot of shows there?
They do a lot of shows.
A lot of all ages stuff going on there. And they do a little bit of everything. I mean, that there's been hardcore shows. I think they've done some hip hop shows, punk shows.
We were on tour with it. It was an interesting lineup because we were traveling with an industrial band.
Yep. And, at the heart of the world.
Yeah, at the heart of the world from Portland. And I mean, just. They will cater to, if the date's open, they'll cater to whatever you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Really cool. Like kind of a no restriction kind of thing.
Steak Old?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. Steak Old Deli.
Okay.
Yeah. Gotta remember that.
Fantastic spot.
Let me know how the sandwiches are.
Yeah. tell them Vicaroso what's up.
Yeah, for sure.
I'll sweep the ground before I even start to unwrap it.
Right, exactly. I just got too excited. It happened.
Well, damn, I feel like we're doing a lot of plugs.
Right.
All right, well.
I love you, Oakland.
We are from Reno.
Yeah, I know. Vicaro's not from Oakland right now.
It's always good to show Oakland a little love because it gets a lot of kicking around from everybody.
I think the Bay Area is a wonderful melting pot of music.
Yeah, it's kind of
nice.
A hub of culture for
It's nice that Reno is
more.
So close to, like, Sacramento, Oakland, San Francisco. Like, it's cool
Even
that
Berkeley?
We're able to. Yeah, Berkeley.
Fresno.
I mean,
Fresno?
Modesto.
Fresno, question mark?
Yeah.
No, but anywhere, honestly, we have that perk here of where it's a good spot for bands from here to travel, but also for bands coming through to Reno, it's a good spot.
Because there's a shit ton down there.
Yeah, for sure.
The Bay Area has some of the best active bands in the world right
Reno's
now.
Reno's always benefited from the close relationship with the Bay, and vice versa.
I fully agree with that.
I fully agree with that.
And Sacramento is also like our little home away from home,
too. Sacramento is probably on my top five favorite places to play Sacramento. Yeah.
You know, Sacramento has the second most trees of any city in the world behind just Paris.
Really?
Really?
Is that true?
Yep.
That is a wild fact.
How did you know that?
I heard it on a basketball game when I was watching the Kings and the Lakers in the playoffs back in about 2003, and somebody on the TV mentioned that.
What a fun fact.
Yeah.
I love that.
No, I mean, Sacramento's a great city. And again, another city that is just exploding with incredible music right now.
Yeah.
Venues, bands, promoters. It's just, it's amazing.
Hey, Rick, you know Kevin Dunn?
Yeah.
He's big in the Sacramento metal scene now. He's doing like Sacramento. Have you heard of that?
Oh,
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Kevin, our friend. And he's on a bunch of episodes of this too.
Nice. But,
Did you know that, Rick?
I feel like we've spoken with him.
No, I didn't know what he was doing lately. I just know that he's not here anymore.
Yeah, he's meddling out. I think they're working on getting his band Lysol Toast up here.
God, that sounds super familiar. Yeah, yeah, I'm familiar with the name of that.
I know, I definitely know the name Kevin Dunn. 100%.
Yeah. Dumpy Kevin Boyfriend. Was so much Dumpy fucking Boyfriend. Fun. Yeah. And
Courtesy Stitch.
Ooh, yeah, and yeah, that Courtesy Stitch album was one of the first things I ever recorded.
Yeah, that's a great album cover with the birth of a baby or whatever, where it's crowning.
Yeah.
That's my medication alarm.
Oh my goodness. So metal.
That's amazing. I gave Chris the warning. I was like, everybody make sure your phones are off.
Well, hey, I'm old.
But you need medication.
Roxy Pacha was here a couple weeks ago, and she had to turn her medication alarm off.
Let's just hope we don't get a cease and desist for that little
Yeah, you've been demonetized.
That little outburst.
Yeah. Yeah,
we would have to make money before we could be demonetized. Yeah.
Sorry. Go ahead and sue us. Fuck it.
That's what I say when I get the letter in the mail. I'm all, ha, what are you going to take?
Yeah, right.
Go ahead and steal my identity.
I feel bad for you.
Well, you guys, speaking of sponsors, Rick, we have a sponsor for Ladies March, or Women's March, we call it. Sorry.
We sure do, and it's Asenza Salon, where my beautiful sister works.
Let's hear the commercial.
Asenza Salon and Spa, located in East Sparks, proud to be celebrating over 12 years as a local business. Hi, I'm Darcy Delavella, owner and esthetician at Asenza Salon and Spa. Manis, pedis, facials, hair services, nail services, massage, lash extensions, and permanent makeup. We offer great discounts on our products, Image, Dermalogica, Lyra, and Revitalash. We will customize a spa package for any occasion. For more information, please log on to our website at AsenzaSalonAndMediSpa.com or call 626-4600. That's 626-4600. We are located at the corner of North Los Altos and Vista Boulevard. Asenza, it's Italian for essence.
And Asenza wanted to join us in having Women's March and celebrating the brilliant musicians and female-fronted bands in Reno this month.
I need to make an appointment with your sister to get my nails done.
Some Dermalogica. That's my shit.
I need
right
a massage.
There.
Spa day.
The permanent makeup scares me.
That's a tattoo,
WLP
right?
WLP spa day.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I would never get that done. I've seen it done on like some of my old, like elderly patients and like no shade or whatever, but like our faces don't stay the same. So when you get something tattooed, like say you get your eyebrows tattooed and like your eyebrows droop over time, mm-hmm. it just looks weird. Mm-hmm. Like it gets all distorted and blown out and like it's... Yeah. It seems like a nice thing at the same time.
I still roll with the
logic,
Sharpie.
Nobody should get tattoos. But
well,
yeah.
But
I had a friend.
Like your face.
I hear you.
Have you had
your
those friends that had like
so
the skinny arm when you're a little kid and then you filled out and the tattoo got smaller? You know what I mean? Because it happens. You gotta be careful, you guys.
Well, Vicare is super anti-tattoo. Yeah. I don't know if you've seen any tattoo. Of
them. Everybody looks pretty asleep. Noah, do you have tattoos?
I do.
Like as like everybody else.
Yes.
A bunch.
Did you fill out and it get real small on you?
I got Merciful Fate on my calf there.
Nice.
Right. Noah has cooler tattoos than all of us. Well, what he lacks in volume, he makes up for with cool shit.
How would you even get your? Would any of you, if there were no negative consequences to it, get your eye makeup tattooed?
If my face didn't droop, absolutely. If I could get like the sharpest wing liner permanently to save myself a little bit, because I am fully attached to winged eyeliner. Like you can take it from my cold dead hands.
But like, so, only if you didn't get wrinkles at some point on your eyelids.
If it would like,
we're all gonna get that.
Yeah. If it would like morph with my face as it ages and not like get discolored or anything.
But
I would
do you think you could deal with the pain? Like that freaks me out.
They do. I think that they do numbing for
that.
They
have to.
Like minor like numbing for that.
Yeah. I mean, I've got tattoos all over. I've never had numbing, but like my eyes.
On your face, you have to. Could you imagine if you flinched when they're like,
it is like a way like smaller
eyeball.
It's like a way smaller needle situation too. It's not like they got like a 12 gauge like setup, like a 12 round like drilling into your eyeball.
Gene, if you can figure that out for us, then we'll go get permanent eye makeup.
Yeah, it's just, and when your eyes start to go as you get older, like it's hard to put on eye makeup if you wear glasses.
Yeah.
You know, because you can't do it with your glasses on.
Yeah, you can't wear reading glasses to see better with
while you're doing your eyes.
Yeah. That's my nightmare. Is as I get older, I just can't do my eyeliner. It's not anything serious, like forgetting all my amazing memories. It's just like, what if I can't do my eyeliner?
There is a solution.
I feel like I'm just too curious to see what nature has in store for me.
You don't want to get your eyeliner done with me?
No, I want to see where that droop's going.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Or if you had like one droopy eye.
Wake up looking like Sloth one day.
Do people also do their lips like tattoo red?
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, you can do that too.
Tattoo anything.
It's true.
I mean, honestly, you're not wrong.
Yeah. You can tattoo anything. You can tattoo your eyeball. Yep. I think it's really a bad idea, but you can.
Yeah.
That sounds like the worst thing to ever do.
Yeah, I'm good on that.
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe
like
agree.
The inside of you. Never mind.
Oh, God.
If you could go through it and handle it, your enemies would probably stay the fuck away from you.
You would look pretty intense, I feel like.
Yeah.
If it's
you see that guy's got his eyeballs tattooed. I'm not messing with him.
Is it back of one eye, off on the other one, or fuck off? On the
somebody could also look at you and be like, I don't believe you. I think it's a contact.
I think it's contacts.
Oh, yeah.
Then are you just going to do like the...
Yeah, how do you prove it? You can't prove it.
Finger on your eye? Like...
Yeah, and then you got to do that for everybody? I don't know.
That's like how you get pink eye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they're like, that dude who wears the contacts, and you're like, no, I have tattooed eyeballs. Way cooler.
Oh, this is a weird conversation.
I'm loving
feel like
it.
We're going in every direction right now. I like it.
So
should we maybe listen to a song?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I think that's what people came here to listen to.
I came.
Now we have a song.
Tell us about what's going to happen here.
So this song is kind of. Like, I guess it kind of makes you work for it. Like, it is, like, there's a lot of emotion in it. There's a lot of, like, pain behind it, just based on the content of what it is. I mean, essentially, I think it's safe to say that this song is, like, relatively about suicide.
Yeah, it's essentially about, well, first off, this is the longest song we've ever written. Yeah. It comes in at about 17 minutes. That was something that Ryan really wanted to try to do and pulled it off with, obviously, the help of Chris and Noah. And then I had to put lyrics to the whole damn thing. But yeah, this song essentially is about people that you care about so much that you feel like that you're a burden to them. So the best thing that you could do would be to end your own life to help them with that burden.
Which is never true.
Yeah, it's just it's hard because we all have people in our lives that sometimes they find themselves in that dark valley, and you try as you might and as hard as you can, sometimes they lose that battle. And, you know, I don't think people realize the pain that it can really cause to the people that actually love and care about them.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it was my hope that maybe having a song like that would kind of give people that were – you know, having a hard time with those feelings and those emotions, maybe it would give them something to hold on to maybe think to themselves, you know what, like there are other people that are feeling this and maybe this will help me climb that ladder and I can get to the light at the end of the tunnel and maybe this will pull me out of this dark place that I found myself in.
Yeah. And honestly, just like realizing that there's going to be days where you feel like that, and it might be more than a day, it might be more than a week, it might be more than a year, but as long as you're able to keep going, and just the struggle, I guess, of fighting that thought every single day, because it's something that a lot of us have had to deal with. So that's what that song's about.
And I mean, we've had people like I think one of the reviews that we got when the album came out is somebody said that it was, what was the phrase? He said, like, the album, like, it's really hard to listen to, but you need to listen to it.
Yeah.
Mm.
Movies like that, too.
Yeah.
You watch them once, you're all, it was fucking great. You know that if you go back there, you have to be.
Yeah.
In the right headspace for it. Yeah. I think the way that it was kind of explained was that, like, it was unsettling, but necessary for that person at the time, which was anytime we get a review or, like, anybody that has something to say about what we've been doing, it's just an honor that somebody took the time to listen to what we're doing and really think about it and give their opinions on it. Because just because I wrote this song about that doesn't necessarily mean that that's how somebody else might interpret it. Mm. It might be in the same vein. But I really like that people are talking about it and talking about the fact that, like, life is really fucking hard sometimes. And you can feel the weight of that. And realizing that there's other people feeling that same weight is kind of it's sad that other people are in the same place, but at the same time, it's kind of cathartic and kind of
it gives
of
you
like,
that little bit of feel. Hope that maybe you really aren't alone in a really dark time in your life. Yeah,
it's a human feeling.
Yeah. And I think that this song specifically is very open-ended to interpretation where it can mean whatever you need it to mean for you. And it's not going to mean the same thing to everybody. So it's essentially it's what you need it to be at that moment in time. And that's why I'm really, really proud of this one.
Yeah, this is the track 4 off of What Will Become of Our Pain.
Yes.
Thank you.
That was quite a journey already. Totally. That wasn't the whole track, that right?
That was the first half. Yeah, first that was the half. First half.
It's and I can admit that one it really gets me.
Yeah.
I mean the opening samples really let you know like where that one's gonna go.
Did you guys do the samples, record them, or was that from something?
So the all of these samples are stuff that I do. I do it very, very DIY on GarageBand. Mm-hmm. But so the actual samples are taken from films, from shows, from other like just forms of media that kind of inspire us or inspire me lyrically for that. But yeah, that's something that I work on meticulously whenever we're writing. Yeah. I'm just like, hold up on GarageBand.
Well, it's definitely deep. It makes you feel something for sure.
Thank you.
Well, and I think that the samples are and the sound clips are so important because each one is going to tell you like where you're going to go with that song.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just the areas that it's going to take you to. Yeah. Kind of like, maybe that's going to be a little heavy for me right now. Maybe I don't need to.
Yeah, we have.
Maybe
had,
today isn't the day for me to be hearing that, or maybe today's the day that I need to hear it the most.
We have had a friend that held off, I think, 6 months before they listened to our record because they were like, I know that I'm like not in the headspace to listen to it. And I respect that fully. That, yep. There's some people that like you might really not need to hear that
It was a friend from Oakland.
Yeah, it was like you really might not need to hear that day, and but sometimes you might really need it. Yeah.
When they finally sat and listened to it, they were just like, wow, like it really takes you places.
Yeah.
That's what I was hoping for. And I think as a group, that's what we were hoping for. So
So I feel like there's a trigger warning kind of built into the beginning of this song.
Yes.
But what about when you play it live?
When we play it live, I feel like that we are, essentially what somebody coined us and we've been running with for we're a black metal band, but... We've kind of been running with the moniker of Raw Reno Mourning because it's really is like a band about losing people and a band about loss and grief and working through that. We do kind of put that out there when we play live. Also, if you come see us, it is something that is talked about throughout the show, I think. And it does, our whole setup is very like funereal in a lot of ways with the lighting and floral arrangements and all of that stuff. So it is something that if people aren't in the headspace for it, we're never going to get offended or upset if somebody needs to take a moment.
It takes off for a minute.
Yeah, and that's totally understandable. It's really – this band is something that I absolutely love doing, but it's not easy for me necessarily. It is these guys will speak to the fact that like there have been many times when we played these songs and I will fully break down in tears while we're doing them, which is difficult, but I feel like it's important to let other people know that they're not alone in that feeling. So,
well, and when Chris and I are writing, I mean, we are meticulous down to the note of, you know, everything. We could write something and go, you know what, like it sounds good, but there's something there that's not translating. And maybe we adjust one thing and we're like, it's a whole different like animal after that. I mean, we'll spend 2 months writing a song, like just a song.
I'm just laughing because I'm thinking about every night that I'm sitting up in my bedroom, like drinking beers, thinking, I'm like, oh, this sounds good. I'm gonna record this real fast. I'm gonna send it to Ryan. And then the next morning I wake up, oh my God, what was I thinking? That is dumb. Please ignore that text message. So that goes on for months.
The Modelo made you do it.
Yeah, but we try to put every ounce of ourselves into it when we're coming up to it. And then once we finish our parts, then Noah gets it and he'll, you know, because one of my favorite reviews that somebody gave us was they said you can actually hear the bass. And you can hear like what like the hard work and the effort that Noah puts into like what he's contributing to the song, which I just absolutely love that somebody like noticed that because he does work very hard and you know and he does add like a really really
is it hard to hear in most black metal?
I would say so, yeah. I think a lot of it just tends to follow the guitar, and that's why we love having Noah, is because Noah was a guitar player first, as so many bass players are. He plays it like – he plays the bass like a guitar. No,
I feel just from the first half of that song, I could definitely – the bass stood out to me even while we were listening to it. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Very nice. Yeah. I think it, like, the bass has a lot of dynamic, and, like, generally how I try and approach writing is when Chris's parts maybe aren't as intricate, the bass parts are more intricate, but, and then vice versa. So I think it just adds a lot of dimension, and the kind of bridges the kick drum and the guitar together a little bit. So,
I can't wait to see you guys live for the first time this weekend.
It's yes. It's a lot of fun.
I'm so excited, except for I'm sad too.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that we can, because ideally we like to pretty much play in a completely dark room.
We play in the dark
because we have our own lights that we bring. That way, you know, you kind of, it almost looks like we were talking about earlier, you kind of just see shadows up there.
Yeah.
And then we have like a floral arrangement and candles. And like we try to, you know, maybe we're going to start incorporating like fog or haze because, you know, we really want to make it something.
An experience. It's that people are, it's not cheap to go do anything these days. And if somebody's going to go pay their $5, $10, whatever for a show, we want people to get their money's worth and enjoy. Enjoy the experience. And also, I think that it's a really good thing for all of us to do. Like, as hard as it is sometimes to get up there and play a set, I always feel better after I do it. It's a great emotional release for me, for Ryan. I know that like it's just something that we enjoy doing for other people to experience.
And sometimes you find out that maybe it was somebody's first show.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the first time that they've seen whether it be a black metal band or a hardcore band or, you know, a punk band or whatever the music might be. And so you kind of want to give them like, oh my gosh, like this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. I want to find more of this.
Yeah.
I remember when I got my first mixtape as a kid.
Yeah.
I mean,
it changes your life. When I first heard certain kinds of music, it really made me a different person after. It just changed the way I saw the world.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, I got a mixtape, then side one was a band called Icons of Filth. And I was like, this is all I care about. Yeah. I want to find more of this and all of it. And, you know, I mean, it really does give you, I mean, you can base your life around it if you really need.
Well, for all the folks that forget about physical media, right? That's how you found that out when you were a poor kid, is buying compilations down at the mall.
Yeah. Hey, isn't it coming back? $5. Yeah. That's what the kids say. Yeah.
I still use tape.
I don't know, there's a kid in the room. Yeah. Is analog media coming back? Mixtapes?
I'm hoping. I mean, we sold out. We sell a lot of cassettes.
The Transylvania did put out our release on cassette, and it's been doing great.
Oh, really? Where's that available?
So you can actually order that from Transylvania directly, and then we have them at our shows too.
Because
we will be playing next Saturday, this coming Saturday, the 21st. With the Scattering.
Drag Me Under and Tiger Lord.
Anything else coming up? I'm going to be in Texas this weekend.
I'm sad.
We have another one on April 8th, I believe.
Yes, April 8th.
At the Empire off of Ryland.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And then we're playing.
Where's the Saturday show at?
That is on the 4th Street
Coffee Bar.
And that is awesome. The Scattering's last show with Raj. At least.
Yeah.
Yes.
God, that's so right.
So it's going to be a bittersweet show. Yes. Yeah. I'm so like honored and excited that they asked us to
good
play
show
it.
To be in.
Yep. Yeah. It's I mean, fun. All the, oh, gosh, this Drag Me Under. What an absolutely phenomenal band.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
And they've been around for a very, very long time.
When was the last time we had them on?
Have we had Drag Me Under on?
Ew. I don't know.
So, Rick, can you look it up real
quick?
We're
so bad at like, but we've had over 600 shows.
Yeah, that's hard
easy to get to lose track of.
Drag Me Under is great, and then the Scattering, of course, are fantastic.
Yeah, they're always wonderful.
I was lucky enough to be able to do some guest vocals on their most recent record that they put out, so that was really fun.
Nice.
That was a blast. And then Tiger Lords, they live up to their Instagram name, man. Tiger Lord Rips.
Yeah.
Is that a newer band?
They're from here. So it's Pat from Drag Me Under, Brian from The Scattering. It's like a little
We've had them on.
Little super group.
They're a fantastic band.
Let's reach out.
They sound really, really cool.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
It'll be a killer lineup of just a bunch of different kinds of heavy.
I think that's all of our local shows that we have that might be all of our local shows for the year.
Yeah, we have some announcements.
We're playing in Grass
up.
Valley in July with some friends from the Midwest and a band called Infuriate, and then some friends from Sacramento in a band called R-Specs.
Yeah.
And then after that, I think most of what we're going to do this year is going to be traveling,
so, finishing up writing and recording. Yeah. Hopefully.
And we can find out where you guys are going to be at. Is that also through Transylvanian?
I mean, yeah. So Transylvanian.
Kind of web presence.
Yeah, James is great. He posts a bunch of stuff about all of his band's releases and shows, things like that. And then you can
just
find
from
us,
our social media.
Yeah, on Instagram and all Facebook and all that stuff.
We tend to just post and repost and
I love when bands do that because then I can find out what they're actually up to.
Exactly. Promotion is important. And it's just, and like Ryan said, it's how people find out like these days of where shows are, all that
stuff. Well, another thing I've been noticing is we have some friends in Sacramento in a really amazing band called Piss Baptism. And one of the things is, I mean, on their social media, they promote everything that they're doing. But they also promote everything that their friends are doing.
And that's great.
So they will make 20 posts in a day, and one of them will be about them, and the rest of it will be about bands that they're friends with.
Kind of nervous to Google Piss Baptism to find out where they're at.
Careful where you wear the band shirt. We've done that before.
They are so much fun, and quite honestly, probably some of the best, most genuine people that you will ever... Another Transylvanian band.
Yeah, also on Transylvanian. Yeah. It's a fun little family of bands there.
A lot going on.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Awesome. His baptism's great.
Bruce and Chris are just the kindest, I mean, most genuine people that you'll ever meet. And they're so supportive of their city and their friends. And it's one of those things where I'm like, okay... Even I'm taking notes going, okay, like this is how you do it. I remember having that kind of enthusiasm when I was younger, and I feel like it's coming back a little bit.
Also, Piss Baptism's great if you like guys in booty shorts and chains and gimp masks.
Oh yeah.
I'm there.
It's honestly next level.
It strong.
Has anyone alerted heterophobia?
Okay, we need to get a Piss Baptism heterophobia show. Yes. I honestly would love that so much.
It would be... epic.
Well, they rehearse right in the room next to us.
We'll just ask them. We're going to credit you with that idea. Shout out to
Heterophobia.
Yeah, love that.
Great band.
We've had the same practice space next to them forever.
Family. Yeah. We love them.
Very cool. Make sure you tell them it was my idea.
I will. Absolutely.
They will not believe you one bit. They'll think, oh no, that's a lie.
We're going to make them listen to this episode. Go, I told you.
I told you so. The aha moment.
Yes.
Aha.
Oh, you guys.
Yeah. Speaking of this episode.
We got to get moving. But before we go, we have to play good song, bad song.
Okay.
Let's do the game first and then...
Say goodbye and play the rest of that damn good song we were listening to.
Hell yeah. That sounds great.
I hope it's not the bad song.
Well, we'll find out. Tell us about the game, Nick.
All right, good song, bad song is a thing we do with John. I explained it to the band outside, but for the audience who maybe haven't heard of this yet. So John and I talk, or I mostly just listen to what John's opinion is on things, and I get very amused by it. The first time he called out Elton John, I was like, what the fuck, dude? Like, who the fuck are you? I know you write great songs and stuff, but damn, dude, what an opinion, you know what I mean? But then I started like, I like listen to what he's saying about it, and he's like one of my favorite music reviewers, and he's my buddy in a band, and we just get together a lot in the car. Last week we did Alanis Morissette, that's right, and this week, all right, so you're going to guess whether it's a good, John says it's a good song or a bad song.
I guess whether you think John will like the song or not.
So it's not our opinion, we're guessing his opinion.
Correct.
We're tell you the artist,
it's
and you're
going to.
But you don't know the song, and you don't know John.
Yeah,
and based on what
I'm John.
And, yeah. So
we're all John, right?
The artist this week is Pink Floyd.
Oh no!
Wow, you're gonna hit us with Floyd.
Damn,
it's just random.
See, I was hoping for something along the lines of Alanis Morissette because I'd be like, okay, this will be easy.
You should listen to last week's.
Did you listen to last week's?
I am now.
Oh, we didn't listen to last week's because we didn't want spoilers for the game.
Well, you guessed it right. It was Alanis Morissette last week, and the band that was on, like Casey Christensen and Liam, just busted out
that
an Alanis Morissette cover.
I was like,
can you play it? And they're like, yeah, actually, we do that all the time.
I love that.
That was cool.
So, was it a deep track or was it one of the hits?
No, it was one of the hits.
Hand in my pocket.
But this next song, like whatever it is, you guys have to play it.
Do you think
after,
John will like the song?
Oh, no.
After John says what he says.
I'm going
to
go with
top
that
song. Yes. To top Casey and Liam.
I keep saying bad song, so this time I'm going to say good song, and I'm probably going to be wrong.
This is so on the fence. Okay, you got what does the band think?
All right, let's start with Chris. Do you think he's going to say good song or bad song for Pink Floyd?
He's probably going to say good song, but also being John in this podcast too, bad song.
All right. Okay, but you got to lock one in. You locking in good song?
Yep.
I'll go okay.
And Noah? I'm going to go ahead and lock in bad song.
Oh, this is bad.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to have to go with good song.
Right, with good.
My man Noah, it's bad song. It's bad song.
Yeah. Okay, bad. So two goods, two bads.
I feel like, for me personally, it's Pink Floyd. It's probably going to be a good song, but it depends on the song. I think John's going to say bad song.
Okay, Rick.
I'm saying that this could really go either way, but I'm going to say good song. But I'm just guessing because it depends on what fucking song it is, and even then, I can't guess what John's going to say. He hates weird stuff.
Yeah, that's what's so fun about it. It's random. Sometimes I'm like, whoa.
Pink
no
Floyd
way.
Didn't write songs that everyone loved. They left that to the Bee Gees.
Kim.
Huh?
Did you already guess?
Oh, yeah. I already said good song. Okay, there we go. I keep saying bad song.
Yep.
All right. Here we go. Pink Floyd. Unless Doc G, did you want to guess?
Doc G has already gone home. Doc G has left the building.
What about New Guy?
New Guy that doesn't have a name yet.
Aries.
Do you think? Listen, Aries. Well, is it a good song or a bad song? The John's going to think.
I don't know, John. It's going
to
be a good song.
Good song. Okay.
My man.
Hear it.
All right, back to the critically acclaimed good song, bad song. John, this classic song here, is it a good song or a bad song?
I'm not going to lie to you, Nick. I'm not familiar with this song.
Oh, my God.
I don't know this song at all. What is this song? This is Another Brick in the Wall by Pink Floyd.
It hasn't gotten to the hook.
I didn't know the beginning of it. Of course I know the middle of it, because everybody in the world knows the middle of it. And I think if I said this is a bad song, somebody would just come and assassinate me right now. I mean, you can't argue with Another Brick in the Wall. It's like arguing with Imagine. If you do, you're just being a contrarian and you're wrong.
I like that.
So?
Right on. Good song, bad song. Pink Floyd, Another Brick in the Wall, good song.
Yeah. Probably had
little fun fact
about that song. Brian Anderson used that song in his part in Toy Machine's classic video "Welcome to Hell."
Skateboarding with Ryan Porter.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Noah, we fucked up.
That was
we
a random fact.
We went bad song.
I know you bet on John being a jaded dickhead, and you.
But
were
he
wrong.
Is though.
Yeah, I know.
Not a dickhead, but he is jaded.
He's a bit of a music snob.
Like, I feel like I still haven't. Got
I should have said jaded snob.
I could never get into that band ever.
Just, I love Pink Floyd.
I'm not. It's Pink not Floyd my. Awesome. It's not my cup of tea.
One of my favorites.
No.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Granted, I probably like some super questionable stuff that we've talked about.
Some
too.
One of my favorite Reno artists. That's his favorite band.
Okay. Who's your favorite Reno artist?
One of my favorite Reno artists. It's my understanding that that's fucking Freddie's favorite.
Oh.
From Glitterbats.
Oh, Pink Floyd is Freddie's favorite?
That's what I heard.
When I was a teenager and I started experimenting with drugs and stuff, Pink Floyd was my favorite. And I still have a special place in my heart for them.
Yep.
Pink Floyd on drugs is always a good song.
For fuck's sake, they are so good when you're high as fuck.
Have you tried it? Have you listened to it on weed?
I did like, all right, here's some confessions. Mom, don't listen to this episode or turn it off now. But yeah, I was like 15, 16, and I dropped acid at my friend's house, and he had this place called The Room, and we listened to Pink Floyd. And I swear to God, I saw hands stretching through the ceiling and stuff while we're listening to it. And then he had this dog that was an older dog, and it's like had patches of hair missing, and it kind of looked like a goat at the time too. It was fucking frightening. But that was the first time I ever had acid do something to me. Like I must have had like bunk dog. The first time or something.
That's wild because that happened to me and I was stone cold sober. No, I think Pink Floyd's just one of those bands. It can take you places.
Yeah.
You know,
they're deep. They do. Yeah. They took a lot of care in their music.
Yeah. I mean, you're absolutely right. I think that Chris, you're wrong.
We're gonna get into a band argument after this because Chris and I are on the same side of the boat.
Where are you at, Noah?
Oh, I love Pink Floyd.
See, my man. Chris, it's just you and me. It's just you and me, there buddy.
We go. All right. We can go discuss this over some AC/DC.
We're going to go. Woof. Chris knows that I hate AC/DC so much.
Floyd's kind of wild because they do have, like, you know, darker albums. Mm-hmm. They're people like that. And then they got the weird psychedelic elves in the forest albums.
That's what makes
this
game so hard.
Yeah.
Because we don't know what song.
Beautiful. Yeah. Wish You Were Here, which everybody's like, oh,
it'd make the song easy, though, if you just told us what song it was going to be, too. I like that's the format. I think it's going well.
Yeah, I don't think it would work if they told you what the song was.
No, that's true.
I would have liked it better if I chose right, but it was still fun.
Yeah, it's just it's like flipping a coin game.
I think that's a really fun game. Because you kind of get to learn about who is wrong about music.
Yeah, it's another opinion piece, but all right. You guys have your next shows coming up again. What's the date?
The March 21st.
March 21st at 4th Street Coffee Bar with The Scattering, Drag Me Under, and Tiger Lord. Yep. And then we
April 8th. We're going to have one more in July that will also be at the Empire. This one will be special for Aaron and I because our previous band, Dissidents, we're setting up a show for a friend of ours from Germany. And it was the first band that ever took us on tour.
Yes.
And so this is going to be his new project. And we have not seen each other in 11 years.
Yeah,
so.
We'll have all the details for that one coming
up. Yeah, we'll have
up
all the details coming up, but we're very excited for that one.
And then the April 8th show is at the Empire off of Ryland. And that's going to be with us, Insipidus, Fool's Den,
and Reeking Slug. And if you have not listened to Reeking Slug, I would highly recommend listening to
them.
They're great. They are a phenomenal band, phenomenal people. Some of my favorite people.
Yeah, they're great.
Also, Good Song, Bad Song. I think you need to rotate Piss Baptism into that.
Oh, please do a Piss Baptism, Good Song.
What's your favorite Piss Baptism song, Nick?
I think John's going to say Bad Song. I'm pretty sure.
I almost guarantee it.
I would love to see a Good Song, Bad Song with a band like...
Merzbo?
The Cure.
The Cure. Oh. If anybody says Bad Song to The Cure, I will fight. Well,
actually,
all the songs are like well-known songs.
We could throw a really throw something at him and be all Good Song, Bad Song with Morrissey.
This will be good stuff for like future seasons. We'll start out doing just the classic rock and the radio, and then I'll start coming in with a plan into the truck when I pick him up. I'll be all right, today we're doing Bauhaus, dude. Or whatever.
Yeah. That's another one where I'm like, it's all good songs.
How are we feeling in the world of classic rock that bands that we grew up listening to are now
classic
in that
rock.
In that camp?
Yeah, I know.
It makes sense.
I never thought that Green Day was going to be on the classic days.
Well, some of that shit's 40 years old. I mean, of course it's classic now.
Like Aaron and I, we just went and saw Nine Inch Nails, and I think it's funny that now if you listen to like the mom rock radio station, they're playing Closer.
Because everybody grew up listening.
Yeah.
I'm a fuck you like an animal or whatever.
No. They call that cigarette mom rock now.
Cigarette mom rock. We talked that last week. The kids say they call it cigarette mom.
How do you become a cigarette mom?
I don't know. You're just like waiting for your kids in the friggin' pickup line, chain smoking, listening to Alanis Morissette. I don't know.
Yeah. That album I had, what was that? Junior High for us?
Oh, yeah. Downward Spiral, I think.
I remember having to hide that 94? CD from my parents.
I saw the Downward Spiral.
Because I know
music video when I was in elementary school.
Pretty Hate Machine. Yeah, it was 1990.
Yeah, that was a great era.
I think Broken was 93.
It was right before it.
He went through like that whole legal. I have way too much information on Nine Inch Nails. But yeah, I think 94 was the Downward Spiral.
Yep.
It's just like, I guess that would be considered classic rock now.
Dude, the years preceding that, I was a huge Skinny Puppy fan. So to me, Trent Reznor was a fucking poser.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So the interview over. Fair. I'm leaving. Have a great night.
Oh, my goodness.
The opinions of the worst little podcast. Not necessarily the opinions of the entire podcast.
That was just like when Industrial kind of broke with Pretty Hate Machine.
I've also seen Nine Inch Nails twice live, so.
Who did you like better, Skinny Puppy or Nine Inch Nails?
I have never seen Skinny Puppy live. Isn't that awful?
Well, that's surprising.
Yeah. I thought they were touring this last year, weren't they?
You're such a big fan, and you usually go to whatever you are passionate about.
I would love to. I don't know.
Go see them in Toronto or something.
I remember My Life with the Thrill Kill Cult was supposed to be here.
They were supposed to be here.
They canceled.
At the Ranch House or something.
Yeah. And I was devastated when they canceled.
I saw them at, what's that place on Grove? used to be the Limelight?
Was it Red Square at that point?
Was
it no.
It's next was to the Glass Turtle.
Yeah, that was the Limelight. Or I don't know what it was.
I saw when you X saw there too. The same, probably the same year. The same promoter is bringing these.
Yeah,
people.
Joan Jett played there a couple times. That was a badass venue. There was a really good episode of the Reno, you know, where Max Volume and the host of the Reno, you know, went to all the old venues and talked about the bands that played there.
Oops.
YouTube page.
That was an excellent
Reno, you know.
The Reno, you know, YouTube page. I'll plug that because it's a great.
It's so amazing.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
So he goes into old buildings and tells you the history of
Delmar Station.
And he does a really good job.
Delmar
was hit him up.
Delmar was very cool.
Yeah.
Somebody hit him up. Maybe I'll reach out to him.
That would be really fun to talk to him. Yep. I should.
He's got drone footage and all this stuff. It's amazing.
Yeah. I would love to hear stories from that time.
Yeah.
That like time period.
Yeah.
I love
the
one
you
did
he does everything.
The El Cortez.
El Cortez.
Yeah. Well,
just
there was a rad nightclub at the El Cortez back when it first opened called the Trocadero, mm-hmm. and he had a big episode about that.
The Rucker Hauer hit film Blind Fury was filmed right across from my old townhouse
that's
on
true.
Victorian. There's a lot of cool stuff.
Samuel
that's
L. Jackson's
here.
House in Hard 8 was right on 6th Street, right where it kind of goes under the Vine Street Bridge, right there by the
really?
New by the Cracker Barrel. Yeah, if you watch Hard 8, his little brick bungalow that Samuel L. Jackson lived in, you can see it right there.
How cool.
Reno's got a bunch of cool little spots.
Yeah, Sister Act.
Lest we forget Sister Act.
Yeah.
It's the only one I knew about before.
Fantastic.
Love you, Reno.
But yeah, I mean, Reno has such a cool, like, I know, I've got my opinions on what they're doing to it now.
Yeah.
But, I mean.
That's for another time.
Yeah.
But Reno does have a
but
really
But Reno has an amazing history of movies and music and so many cool things. Skateboarding.
Boxing.
Like.
Yeah, we're connected to so much shit, you know. Like,
yeah,
Marilyn Monroe is Reno as fuck, you know.
Yeah,
that's really cool.
I think that Reno definitely has like a really cool, like really rich history of
and
like amazing things that have happened
about it too much. That's why people like the Reno, you know, and like us talking about it.
Yeah,
it's nice to shed the light on that.
I would love to like be able to come back and we can talk about like different time frames of where everyone grew up.
Different
eras of, you know, like you were saying, seeing X and
when the Limelight was hot.
Yeah, and all of those bands, because I wasn't around for that, and I would love to hear those stories.
TKK and Ethel Meatplow. You ever heard of them?
I have not, but that is
I love the name.
If you like TKK, you'll like Ethel Meatplow.
Okay.
Sure.
Nice. Yeah, I would. I just love hearing, you know, stories of
the eras of Reno.
The different
really
eras
cool.
that people grew up in, you know, because you can read about going to shows in like the 80s and whatnot, but like hearing people tell the stories is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just hang out with Rick.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, man.
80s Reno is like.
Yeah, I let the City of Sparks enshrines the ashes of my youth. So.
That was poetic as fuck.
Man, that was. I'm stealing that.
That for the next Vicare lyric.
That's going on a T-shirt.
You steal it from me. You're stealing twice. That's from a poem about Virginia City, and he ends up saying that up in Virginia City, and it enshrines the ashes of his youth. And then he's an old man now, and he's living in the author of this poem is living in. Utah, and he says, and I don't want to go back, and I don't want to see it because I don't look as good anymore, and I'd hate to see Virginia City, and it probably doesn't look as good anymore, and we'd both be embarrassed to see each other now.
that's rad.
Oof, heavy.
Yeah,
man.
That's some 1800 shit right there.
Hauntingly
laid
beautiful.
That's why I don't go to high school reunions. You know, like that first girl, that first girl you had a crush on is going to be there, and I'm sure she still looks great, and I'm over here just all.
Nah, but you're way cooler now, though. Like
she might be all banged up.
You never know.
It would ruin your illusion.
You never know.
Yeah, that's the thing. I want to
remember it the way it was.
Yeah.
Yep.
They'll be like, "So what are you up to now?" I'll be like, "Oh man, I'm broke, but I traveled the world a little bit. I got cool stories.
I got gout, but you know,
man, I got an infection ain't yet been identified."
All right,
you guys. Last piece of business. We need to name the new intern.
I
have an idea. Does anybody else have an idea?
I feel like Chris already coined Aries. I think Aries.
I mean, Aries is pretty good.
Let's put three names up for nomination. Aries is.
So what is the intern's Christian name?
Oh, we're not allowed to say.
We can't say.
That's the thing. They don't get their name until like a Christmas episode.
They're unidentifiable for a while.
So
they
prove their
I want to throw in the hat. Motion. I want to throw in the hat a word that I learned on the Dirt Weasel episode. Stoat.
Stoat.
Yep.
Stoat.
Stoat.
Stoat's a good
stoat.
Name.
Like a weasel, right?
They're like little ferrety type.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Let's call them Stoat.
Stoat. Yeah, I like
Stoat.
It.
Stoat is kind of cute.
I've always been a fan of just the classic, hey you.
Hey you. Never had an intern named hey you.
Hey you, go.
I think Stoat's nice and short and simple.
Yeah,
and,
Stoat.
You know,
all right.
And they're cute.
One syllable nicknames are kind of cool.
Can you picture Polly Shore and Biodome saying that?
Oh, yeah. Stoat.
Stoat. Okay. Okay, this is how it happens, Stoat. I'm sorry.
Are you going to be here next week, Stoat?
Yeah.
Cool.
He
cool,
says
cool.
Yes. We'll find
we'll
out.
See.
I hope so.
I don't believe it.
Is it the last week of Women's March next week?
Yes.
Well, yes, okay. It is.
And it's, what are you guys calling yourselves?
Nacho Bitch.
Nacho Bitch.
Oh, man.
With Nick, bitch. Or well, with Mikey Ramirez and her husband, Nick Ramirez, me. And yeah, we're just a two man duo or two person
duo. So it's
going to
be full drum kit and bass and vocals?
Yep.
And you guys are going to be in, and she can be upstairs and you'll be downstairs?
Mm-hmm.
These are things I could ask you after the show. Mm-hmm. I'm so excited. That's going to be awesome. You've been talking about this project with her, but we haven't heard anything of it
Brand
yet.
New band, exclusive, the debut on the Worst Little Podcast.
Who's watching Pauline?
Oh, shit.
Fuck.
You better figure that out.
No, that's nacho business.
So. Yeah. There you go.
You're watching her in there.
Prostitute.
Oh, no. What are interns for?
Yeah, she's going to be sitting in the back.
Yeah, exactly.
That sounds like a Stoat job.
We couldn't get her out of the backyard.
Yeah.
Yeah, Stoat.
Stoat, you got to watch my 5-year-old autistic child. Don't let anything happen to her.
Oh, that ought to be a
good luck. And keep her quiet.
Okay.
But cool. Yeah, we're looking forward to that. So we're looking forward to the rest of this epic song. And the second half of that, and before we go out with that, anybody got a little, any last props you want to give or shout-outs?
Thank you for, thank you for what you do for Reno. I think that's amazing. I think it's amazing that it's a platform for local bands.
We love it.
To, you know, be able to kind of let people know about what they're doing and how they feel about things. And so I think that's amazing. Thank you for having us back. This has been a lot of fun.
Thanks for being here. It's just as much.
We would
thank you because
anytime that you have space for us, we would love to come back.
Yeah.
I think this is just so much fun.
Yeah, we'll have you back. Let's make it a
next time. Noah,
we'll get you in the five. Well, let's get you in the five timers club.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh,
do we get
do
jackets?
We get jackets?
Yeah,
maybe like smoking jackets.
I'll only do it if there's a jacket.
We'll have patches.
Involved.
No, we all have to go get tattoos.
We'll owe you a jacket.
Yeah, we talked about that.
We could just have a community jacket that fits Chris and also me.
Oh god!
And you have to give it back at the end of the show.
We have to rotate. That's a great idea.
You just wear it in pictures.
But we really do have a lot of fun coming on here, and thank you all so much. This is just amazing, and the podcast is amazing.
Thank you.
Rad.
Thank you for coming
on. And congratulations on, you were saying, over 600 episodes.
629?
Yes, today is 627.
Nice. That's amazing. Congratulations. Yeah. That's
thank
awesome.
You.
Yeah, it's crazy because I can't even think about that number anymore. Like, that many. That's wild. I've never done anything that many times except for go to the bathroom and eat and stuff. Sleep.
I started doing the show like 15 years ago, and I was 36. And I think about 15 years before that, I was only 21. This last 15 years has just flown by.
Yep.
Yeah.
Getting together
time
every Monday.
Time is crazy.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
One of the highlights of my week, for sure.
Yeah.
No, we appreciate y'all doing this and having us back. And then last thing I want to say before we play the last part of the song, everybody in this band lost somebody this last summer. His name is Curtis Castro from San Jose. This is for Curtis. We miss you. We love you.
We love you.
And we were honored enough to be able to play this at his memorial over the summer. So this is for anybody that's lost one of their really good friends, because we lost a really fucking real one. So.
And if you know people that decide to drink and drive, please let them know that there's consequences and that there's somebody out there that is loved by a lot of people. And one of those consequences could be that person being killed. Yeah. And so, this is for
Curtis.
This is for Curtis.
Love you, buddy.
Right on. Thanks for listening, everybody. This one's for Curtis.
Where is it? prison walls.